What's happening? This is Christian Opus Lawrence.
And David Sharp.
From Dead by Wednesday. And you're listening to...
Sonic Perspective!
Yeah.
Michael the Metal Angel speaking to Dave and Opus from the highly underrated band Dead by Wednesday.
Thank you, sir.
We're here at the Ellefson Show, and they're also serving as both the drummer and guitarist and for Dave Ellefson's tour. All right, first thing I want to talk about is the fact that you guys have a history, not as much you, but so have you. The band has been around for a while, Opus.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you're one of the instructors. You started with your cousins. You've had a revolving lineup, unfortunately. The one guy you said you dedicated the Death Row Rockstar because of his actual issues where he had died because of...
he didn't die.
Oh, he just had
no,
a drug.
No, he didn't die. I mean, technically, and I mean this with all due respect, when someone... gets tied up in a lifestyle like that, in my eyes, they kind of die. And it wasn't meant to actually, when we worded it in the press release, a lot of people thought it was our bad because a lot of people thought he passed away.
Right.
But he actually didn't. It was more so just a void in the whole project, and we pretty much had to fill the hole. And so that's pretty much how the new lineup that we have now, the actual real lineup, I consider, like, that's why we did a debut album. We did the self-titled album, Dead by Wednesday. That's the reason why we did that with this new album, was because we actually finally have a real lineup that where everyone cares, everyone's 100% involved, everyone is very dedicated to their position, and we're trudging forward like a boss, you know? So that's why we did that. Death of the Rockstar was actually more about the industry failing us.
Okay.
And because like Death of the Rockstar, there's no more rock stars. We're just
yeah,
people
really
playing music.
Right.
It's become like a blue collar job.
Right.
You get better benefits at Starbucks than you do being a rock star.
Exactly.
Being a rock band. That's kind of what I meant. The Death of the Darkest of Angels album, that was the guest vocalist album that came out on EMP before we got bumped up to Combat. That was the album that was dedicated to Joe.
Okay.
Joe Morbidelli, he was a great front man. He totally connected with the people, but he had some demons, and he couldn't get rid of the demons. And, you know, I was mad at him for a long time, very angry with him, because I invested so much time and energy and money into the band with him as the lineup. And but I got over it. I understand people. I understand more now about that, and I feel like it's not really my problem anymore. It's more his problem. And until he's ready to address that, you know, it won't matter anyway because we're locked in with Rob and we love him. But I'm just saying, until he's able to address that, I feel like his life will actually change for the better eventually. But that was the thing. And Darkest of Angels is more of a album about recovery.
Okay.
So basically we had the album done. It was musically finished, and we had no singer at the time because he was gone. So we're like, well, what the hell are we gonna do? The album is recorded. It's done. It sounds great. It was me, Joey Concepcion at the time, who now is with Sanctuary,
right,
and a bunch of other great bands, and our original bass player, who has been with me from the beginning, Mike Modess, and it was Joe. And we were on the road with Shadows Fall, and we were doing their last tour. And basically at that point, we were like, what do? We have an album that kicks ass. It's already recorded. We have no vocals. So we decided, from a weird situation on the road with Shadows Fall, where Brian had to jump up and cover one night when he was MIA from
Brian,
us.
Brian,
you know,
Fair?
Yeah, Brian Fair. One of the shows on the tour, which is one of the reasons that led to his departure, as well as many other things throughout
right,
the years,
right,
was we were on the last tour with Shadows Fall, and
right,
we were on tour together, a sold-out show in Michigan, 750 people, and he was MIA, gone, nowhere to be found. So Brian jumped up, he's like, did us a favor, he's like, yo, what covers do you know? I'm like, we know Domination, we know Bark at the Moon, which you guys do, Shadows Fall does.
Right,
we know Ozzy.
We
did a bunch of stuff. I forgot what songs we did. We did a bunch of covers, and he was like politically correct. He goes, yeah, our singer's late. I don't, you know, he was like, hey, the singer's late. He's not available. We're going to jump up and do a few songs, and he saved the day for us. So that's the first time we had the idea of doing a song with Brian. And then basically we salvaged that album by taking a unique idea, similar to like what rappers do with like mixtapes, where they the DJ does all the songs and they get different rappers to come and do songs. We decided to salvage the album, make it about recovery, dedicated to Joe, and also basically to anyone that's suffering from you know, any sort of abuse.
Addiction, right.
And basically, we had different singers on each song and they to write about the same topic, and it worked out great because it was a very unique album. We had John Arch, Bass Warning, which is the whole album was dedicated after his song.
Absolutely.
Because it came out so fucking awesome. You know?
Eric A.K.
Eric A.K.
Just played with Flotsam.
So many great artists on there. That was the first song. I mean, first album that came out with David on David's label did really well for us, and that's why we ended up getting bumped up to the higher tier label, Combat Records.
Absolutely.
So that's basically the backstory.
How did it come about that now that you're playing drums for the Dave Ellison tour and that you're doing guitar?
That was a natural progression. I mean, Dave could probably fill you in because he was there for most of it with me.
Yeah, essentially David was taking local bands. He was doing like different geographic areas for the tour, like West Coast, Midwest, and East Coast.
Okay.
So he would take like an EMP label band and have them be like the backing band. I think would he use Wrath maybe like in the Midwest?
He used Green Death.
Green Death.
Yeah. And I think he used Wrath for a couple. He used us on the East Coast, and then he used I think Symbolic on the West. But,
originally asked Opus to do the drums, and then he said, "Hey, we want to buy a guitarist." So you know, Opus referred me, and was like, "Hey, let's learn all these songs like 10 days." And then we went out for like a week and a half, and it went so well that he was doing a Florida run. He kind of had a band set up, but you know, we were just like, it went so well with us that he was like, "Yeah, come down," and we did like another week with him there.
And now Opus plays on the Sleeping Giants' New Day of Ellison.
He does too.
One night we finished a gig. I think it was like in Tampa. And I was like, he's like, "Hey, come to the studio, we're gonna jam." It's like 2 in the morning.
We're like, whoa.
By like 2:30 in the morning, maybe 2:45, we had like the skeleton of a song, wrapped that up. Dave went down and laid down some tracks, Opus threw the drums on. He's like, "All right, that's the song, you guys finish it up." So then we just stayed like another hour, threw a solo on it, tightened some of the parts up, did like a couple different tracks. And we left, they were like, "Okay, that's a cool demo." And then the next thing you know, he's like, "Oh, we're gonna put this out as an actual song." I'm like, "Holy shit."
But that's Vultures, right?
Yeah, it's a single.
But,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, we nailed
not
playing
that,
so well.
Not that
well.
Remix one. That's weird. We were listening to that like, what the fuck?
That was a guy from Game of Thrones. That's why they did it. They're
The Game of Thrones
He's a DJ on Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay,
and he's
sense.
A big actor. I forgot his name. What's his name? Thornor or something. I don't watch that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I get it. But we listened to Vultures like, this sounds like Dead by Wednesday. And then like 3 minutes later, three songs later, we're like, what the hell is this Marilyn Manson sample shit?
I said the same
thing.
Listen, no offense to David, I said the same thing.
But we had nothing to do with that.
That was more Tom's idea.
And I see on the Ellison album, when I speak with Dave later, that he's got a lot of the F5 stuff on there. He's got stuff with John Bush from, you know.
Yeah.
But back to Dead by Wednesday, I want to go on the record and say, especially with the new Killswitch Engage album coming out, I don't understand why you guys are not at Metal Archives. I hate the term metalcore. I agree with you saying it's all metal, it's all heavy shit. But after having listened to that new album, self-titled, so many times, first of all, Rob Roy's vocals are phenomenal.
Thank you very
His
much.
His lyrics are amazing. They're so poetic and so dark and yet so sardonic. But also, the music, you talk about Shadows Fall, that's the first band that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I cannot stand the Boston metalcore scene, except for maybe Unearth. But you know, Shadows Fall for me were always thrash.
Yeah.
And that's what you just hear. The drumming is punishing us, that Charlie Benante, SOD punishing drum sound. The guitar solos are amazing. The riffs are right there. And then there's, like you said, there's hard rock songs, there's ballad songs, there's emotional songs. And I think this band needs a lot more recognition than they're getting. Especially since they're on Dave Ellison's EMP label and Combat. But, you know, all these people are like, oh, you know, Killswitch Engage. And, you know, and I talk to these people, and it's like they talk about all these bands. I'm like, you need to hear some of these bands that nobody's heard. Forget about the name. You know, that's a whole other situation. The music is really good. And I'm very grateful for you giving me a CD. Because for me to play a CD and listen to the CD, listen to Rob Roy's vocals on a CD, read his lyrics, hear your drums, you say you play some guitar on that as well.
Yeah, well
you said you worked on Manimal. Manimal's a vicious fucking song.
Thank
There's
you.
No doubt about it. It's in your face.
Yeah.
I mean, it is that album is more thrash than it is given credit for. So fuck the Metal Archives, they don't even have Whitesnake.
And fuck the Elitists too. Because
absolutely.
People just go by, like, see, when we started, we were a different band, but every band sort of goes through developments and morphs in different stages until they find their sound. When you first start, you're never going to be amazing. You're going to be okay until you find your groove. and you find the right lineup and you find the right people.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it takes, look at Twisted Sister. Sometimes it takes 10 years.
15 years.
Right? Or, yeah, exactly. What I'm saying. Sometimes it takes, you know, it's not always perfect. And even with this band, like, you know, we started off this tour, first show, first couple shows, a little shaky. Right. Now we're a fucking, we're like a real band here.
Yeah, you're right? Tight.
We're right. Tight as balls.
And, you,
and it's awesome.
Yeah, but the YouTube videos.
But to go back to the, just really quickly to touch upon, because Dave did tell you a roundabout way, but basically, David and I have had a relationship since the early 90s. He almost managed my old band, Gargantua Soul, in the 90s. And it didn't work out. We ended up going with the tour manager from Rage Against the Machine because it was more stylistic to what we were doing at the time. It was more with what we were doing. So we figured it would be better to go with him than David. In hindsight, I would rather have gone with David, but I was voted out, you know, because it was a more of a democracy, which led to why the very first Dead by Wednesday album was called Democracy is Dead. It wasn't political, which it turned out to be. It was more about how sometimes in a band, you know, democracy ruins, it's like too many cooks,
chiefs, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what it was about. But then from that point, we stay in touch, Dave and I. It wasn't like a close thing like we are now, but it was more like, you know, hey, how you been, blah, blah, blah. Very like, very like distant kind of friendship.
Right, right.
And
right.
Then when I found out that he was starting EMP Label Group, I was like, oh, okay. I want to try to get this band on the label. So I hit him up and he's like, yeah, sounds good, you know, but I don't really handle any of that stuff. You got to hit up my A&R guy, Tom.
Right, Tom.
Tom Hazer.
Who's doing vocals
for
several songs.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. So I flew out to NAMM. And I literally followed that dude around like a little puppy dog for like all weekend long, up his ass.
Yeah, badger.
Finally, at the end of it, he's like, fine, kid, okay, just call me Monday and we'll work it out.
We know that, Felix.
So, yeah, so Monday I called him and still nothing. So then a week goes by and I'm like, you know what, fuck this. I'm just going to fucking go somewhere else. I got other options. We're going to go take it somewhere else. So I actually posted something about, like, any labels interested in checking out the new DBW album, hit me up, blah, blah, blah. Tom saw it and he goes, hey, I thought we were putting that album out. I was like, well, I haven't heard from you since we talked. I'm like, so snooze, you lose. I'm like, right. I'm like, but if you listen to it, you'd want to do something, let me know. So he listened to it right then. Within 5 minutes, he called me at Darkest of Angels. He's like, yo, this fucking album is great. We got to put this out. I was like, yeah, no shit, bro. Like, what the fuck, you know? So he did. And it went really good, you know. It was really well received because all the different vocal stuff.
Yeah, some people, John Ark and Eric AK and
some
Brian
people
Fair
didn't get it. Some people didn't get it because they're like, well, "What the fuck is this? This is like a compilation." But we did all the music, all the albums,
awesome.
All the drums, all the guitars, all the songwriting and recording was Dead by Wednesday, just different vocalists. And that's why we threw Rob on there last minute because while doing that process, we found Rob. And when we're like, well, we gotta put at least a song from our singer on this.
Absolutely.
So we did the acoustic song, The Surgeon, which people's one of the people's favorite songs on the album, which is acoustic. So we're like, okay, cool. And that's when Tom called me. He's like, who sang that song, Surgeon? I'm like, I was like, why? I thought he was gonna say sucked. I was like, it's the guy that we're thinking about putting in our band as our singer. He's like, oh, fucking great. That's what I want to hear. Great. That's the guy. And I was like, okay, I guess that's a good thing that he liked the vocalist on that song. So from there, basically our relationship grew and David started doing some spoken word tours. I don't know if you remember the spoken word.
Absolutely.
It was before he started doing bass tours.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he asked me to book a couple shows on my neck of the woods. So I ended up doing a few shows with him in Connecticut and Mass, and it went really well. I booked it all, and he was like, okay, this dude actually could do some stuff. So we started, our relationship started grew from there. And then once I got on the label, I brought Mark Rizzo to the label, his solo album. I brought Waylon Rivas from Mushroomhead to the label. I brought two bands to the label, showed them that I actually could do stuff to help. I'm a team player. It's not just give me.
Right, right, right.
You know, you give me, I give you. We're going to help each other, right? And that's still what we're doing now.
Absolutely.
So he's helping me. I'm playing drums for him, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes, we're getting a little something here and there, but it's more like, you know, we're a family now. We're like incestuous. Like we're all together. Hatchet's on the label. He's the other guitar player. Me and Dave are from Dead by Wednesday. We're playing with him. Then we got, you know, Tom the A&R guy. Then we got David. And we're all in this together, you know, and he's down back in the trenches with us, you know. No, not up here. Like he's still up there, but I'm saying now with this project, he's in people's faces.
He's hitting where you live, absolutely.
Doing what he loves to do best.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. So that's how it morphed. And like what he said, we went from doing, we took it real serious. He's like, well, yeah, learn a few Megadeth songs, have DBW open up, we'll do a few shows, base three shows on the East Coast, you handle booking it, and we'll see how it goes. So we did like, three or four shows or something like that. And we and him took it real serious. We're like, okay, well, we're gonna play Megadeth. We're not gonna go out there looking like chumps.
Right.
We're gonna fucking learn Megadeth the way it should be fucking played.
Yeah,
so we learned to a T, and we fucking played it. And then I remember David turned around going, wow, because he started shredding a friggin' Chris Pullen and Marty Freeman solos.
Yeah.
And he like looked around, he's awesome. Like, looked at me, he goes, wow, right?
That's what you want to hear.
And so from that point, you know, it was like, he said to me, he's like, yeah, this has been really, really good. You know, if we ever need you, I'll call you again. And we saw that he was playing in Florida the week later. We're like, you know what? Let's show him that we really want to do this. So we took it upon ourselves on our dime to fly out there. We said, listen, okay, we know everything's booked. We know there's probably not going to be any extra income to fly us out. We're going to come out there and we're going to go to that conference and we're going to show you that we want to do this. This is what we're going to do. And we came out on our dime. We stayed at friends' houses. We borrowed a car and we played all these shows for them. That went good. And while I was on that tour, I got a phone call. Hey, man, would you be available to play drums for another project I'm doing? And I was like, well, what are you doing? He's like, I'm like, sure, I'll do whatever, you know? And he's like, yeah, I got this shows, the release show for Altitudes and Attitudes with Frankie Bella.
That's right,
I was like, before he ended the text, I was like, yes, right?
That's also Frank Bella from Anthrax. So you're talking Megadeth and Anthrax.
So I said, yes. And then Dave was with me because he was out with us. And then at that point, he's like, well, we're doing another tour, a full tour, because, you know, obviously, unfortunately, Dave Mustaine's cancer. We're going to go out, we're going to fill some dates for me, and we're going to promote the book, the new release. You're on the release. It makes sense. Why don't you guys come out and do this tour? So this ended up being a month long. And so at that point, he got me and Dave to come back. So now it's like, actually, he's actually saying he wants it to be a band. Actually, you can elaborate on that, how he wants it more so to be like a band than just different players here and there.
Right,
you know?
Instead of just session musicians, he wants a cohesive unit.
But that's the backstory of how it evolved with Dave.
I think that's what it comes down to, especially with, you know, Mustaine's condition. Obviously, Dave's a working man. He likes to keep him busy. It's not even about the money. He just likes being out there, being with the fans.
That's what we said. He's like, this is probably something he does just for fun for
and
the fans.
He's just like celebrating the music, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's why he pulls stuff like Go to Hell out of the,
my favorite
Megadeth song. Awesome song that I probably didn't get to do, you know,
Mustaine had issues with the lyrics, even though it was for Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Once he became Christian, go to hell, all that.
And that's the thing too. I mean, even like the first where we did Devil's Island, we did The Conjuring. I mean, my favorite. That's like the
Liar. I saw Liar on thing.
Liar.
What are some of your favorite older Megadeth songs to play? The Marty Friedman, Chris Bolan era stuff.
I love Devil's Island.
Rust in Peace, but it was kind of almost like segmenting and taking some certain albums. Like we did a lot off of Peace Sells the last time. So
that's awesome.
Like we moved up to So Far So Good So What, which was Tom's favorite album, and it was
really cool. That's Tom's favorite so far.
Yeah,
so good. Okay.
I don't know. Go out again. Maybe we'll hit Rust in Peace.
Yeah. Him and I, we want to do like the
Holy
Darkest
Wars,
Hour.
Right.
Like Holy Wars. Stuff
right.
Like
and
that.
You should probably pay as a professional drummer. You should probably do Countdown to Extinction.
Oh,
and pay homage to the death of.
Oh man, I love Nick.
Right.
It's funny. He tells me stories about him, and I'm like, wow. He reminds me a lot of me.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little wilder than me, but also he was also younger. I mean, I was a lot wilder when I was younger too. But I mean, like, we do a lot of Megadeth stuff that you don't normally get to hear when you go see Megadeth.
Right.
Which is what's cool about this.
That's what we want to hear.
because David, he likes to play a lot of that stuff too, and he's like, you know, I get to do this, and he doesn't care about that, the satanistic lyrics or anything. It's a song.
Right, yeah,
it's not like you were worshiping the devil on stage.
No, God, Devil's Island's about Alcatraz, so let's get real.
That's one of my favorite songs.
It's about Alcatraz. Various songs about Alcatraz.
Yeah, it's a good mix. Like, the set, we get to play the songs that he, literally just wrote, like Vultures, a few months ago, pretty much.
Wow, he just wrote that a few months ago, man, okay.
Yeah, December, and then he pulls stuff out that he'd been working on for a while, like A Hammer Comes Down was a riff that he had bouncing around.
Stuff in F5.
Finished it, then Poland's on it, so I get to play some solos around kind of what Poland did. But then he has like demos going back 20 years ago, like John Bush sings on a track.
Right, yep. Right. Seven Witches song of all
which
things.
Which we actually play tonight, and he sings. And David sings.
Okay.
David sings a couple songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
We get to do backing vocals. We did two different acoustic sets on this tour, which is awesome. I mean, you wouldn't think like metal, you're doing acoustic.
Symphony of Destruction acoustic.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It's awesome.
That's so
cool. I got Blisters playing Marty solos on acoustic.
I bet.
We played Sweetwater. That was dope. You know,
but those are the compliments that make it worthwhile for us, because obviously Dead by Wednesday is our band.
Right.
But when we do this, when we hear true fans that come up to us after, they're like, it's so good to hear these songs played the right way.
Absolutely.
Because I guess, and I'm not dissing anybody.
I know.
But I guess some of the, you know, they have so many members changes.
Yeah, the rotating lineup.
Some of those guys never really honored it the way they should have.
Right.
And they kind of just played it their own way, which I understand. People want to do that. They want to make it their own a little bit, and that's cool. But when you're playing someone else's stuff, and you're playing to like fans that are diehard fans, dude, especially being in our position and being in a smaller band like Dead by Wednesday, they don't. Last thing you want is, oh, he played that wrong or he played that no. It's like you, I want to play it so with authority, so people are like, damn, these guys can play. You know, these guys know how to, what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, like Peace Sells. I mean, the little guitar solos and that. I mean, they're like, you know, trademark. Like,
right.
Solos. I mean,
you can't just wing it. And a lot of guys do.
Right. And he's gone through so many. Mustaine's gone through so many great guitarists and so many lineups and so many changes. Kiko Larrero is a fantastic guitarist. He was amazing in Angra.
Yeah.
But the newer Megadeth stuff just doesn't do anything for me. I obviously want to hear everything from like 98 back.
I mean, some people say that about him, and some people even say that about Dirk. I think Dirk's a phenomenal drummer.
Right.
And he's a nice guy. Once you meet someone and they're good people and they're good players, it's hard to ever say, oh, even if it's true.
Right.
Like for me, I think he's a phenomenal, great dude. Like we played together up in that Florida run. He came up and did a bunch of Megadeth, and I came up and played a bunch of covers, and I was like, oh my God.
I got to play with 50% of Megadeth in Florida.
That's awesome.
And also,
you gotta love that.
They had, like with this situation, us coming and playing with Davey, you never know who shows up. We had DMC from Run DMC show up.
We had
Brian Head Welch from Korn show up. We had the dude from Mastodon show up. And I'm playing God of Thunder from Kiss with the guys from Mastodon. It was like, what the hell's going on right now, And like, you know, and in my history, I've been there and done that. Like it goes up and down, you know, the roller coaster ride of rock and roll. Playing Woodstock 99 in the 90s and being on radio and being on TV and being managed by Racing Against the Machine and doing all the shit. You're like, oh, I made it. And then as fast as you get it, it goes away. So you have to really learn that this business is just, it's like, comes and goes, and you can't really let it get to your head. You have to be grounded. You have to understand that it's basically what my goal nowadays is. Not if I become a rock star, I'll take it, but my goal is just to be a respected working musician, touring, working, paying the bills with music, and being respected. And if I leave a little bit of a legacy for my son or whatever, cool, you know.
That's awesome.
That's really the goal at this point, and I feel like we're getting there, you know.
All right, well, we get the drums coming, we won't lose the sound. So what we basically always have you guys do for the site for Sonic Perspectives is pick a song off the new album that you would like us to play so fans can actually hear it. So, and there are so many good songs on the new album, whether it's Unfuck the World
or
whether
it's Mission.
I'll be partial to Chrysalis.
Chrysalis is a great
song.
It's different. It's a heavy. It's got a lot of different heavier elements, maybe more thrashier than some of the other songs.
Yeah.
Right.
But it also has melodic, but it has some weird.
It's got a good catchy chord.
Great lyrics.
Good breakdown in the middle.
So. And in my opinion, Rob is the new Anders Frieden and Brian Ferry comparison.
Wow.
I mean, he can hit those clean vocals that Anders Frieden hit on the 90s albums like Colony and Clayman, but then he can also get that hard stuff that Boston, I guess you want to call it metalcore sound.
No offense to some other singers, but I mean, he doesn't need the auto tune.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need auto tune.
Or the backing tracks.
No. I've seen him live, and I also want to go on the record and say that, Opus, I want to thank you because
I met
you through John Gallagher of Raven. Who would have ever thought that relationship would form from a band, the classic traditional metal band
Raven.
I know, would form into. And then the next time we hook up is at Flotsam and Jetsam. So it goes to show that Dead by Wednesday is getting a lot more accessibility to bands of thrash bands, traditional heavy metal bands, and now with Megadeth. And that's fantastic for me because a lot of people are going to just listen to that album. I know one guy who actually bought the album just because, you know, it's on Combat or something. But, you know, regardless of people's taste, I know myself, I don't want to to hear a bunch. I could care less about the new Killswitch Engage. Actually, the Inflamed is fantastic.
Yeah.
But a lot of some of the stuff I just get bored with. And so, you know, had I not ever met you guys and actually seen you guys live, I would have completely dismissed that
you
album.
You might not have given it a chance.
I know I wouldn't. I know what an asshole I could be about that.
Right.
So, but now I've listened to it several times, and it's like
that makes me
it's
happy,
fucking,
bro.
Fucking amazing. So
that makes me happy. That's what we said on his last tour. It's like turning on one guy at a time with Flotsam, because like we had to force we have to like basically force feed a lot of their crowd, and because you go into it and they already have a pre notion like we don't want to hear anything about Flotsam.
Right,
we don't want to hear anything but thrash metal.
Yeah, it's like
but
a
then once, but, so but once you play and you play with authority 100% and you give them 100% and they actually see that your heart's in it and the music's heavy and it's still groovy and he sings and girls are digging it and they go, oh, okay. I actually like, so you're not going to get everybody in the crowd, but even if you gain like 60, 70% of the crowd, and you're doing something right because you turn them on, they buy some shit, they tell the next person.
Your encore is Pantera, which everybody and their mother seems to like regardless.
Not always.
On the Raven, that was a good choice because we were like, who is this? I mean, a lot of my friends are like, ah, fuck that band up there, blah, blah, blah. And they, oh, they're playing Pantera. And they all go forward. I'm like, yeah, but actually listen to it. We're out of time. All right, so.
Well, we do now. We recorded it, actually. It's on the one of the songs is actually on David's solo album. We did Zeus. You know who Zeus is? The producer.
Of course, producer.
Yeah,
of course, absolutely.
He did two new tracks for us. They're both covers, and we paid for the rights to use them. We do a Van Halen song called Unchained.
Right. You did Unchained.
And we did like a almost like a Killswitch version of Dio, like a modern version of Unchained that we did like more heavy.
Well,
like
they did. Holy Diver. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We did like a version like that, but more our own style. And then we did Symphony of Destruction.
Okay.
And he actually put it on. It's a bonus track on his solo album. There's two albums on the, in his solo album.
Okay.
One is all his solo material, and the other one is like an EMP combat.
Sampler. The disc is a double disc.
Yeah,
right?
We have you and I on it. But at the end, there's a bonus track and it's Symphony of Destruction.
Oh, okay.
By Zeus, you gotta check it out. It's awesome.
All right, well, guys, Opus,
thank you
very
much,
Dave.
Man. Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you so much.
I'm glad you're here.
Oh yeah, we are too.
You're gonna enjoy the show.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So 10:15, we go on.
Okay.